and support all our sponsors and tell them thank you for advertising and supporting local radio with Real Country, 1430 WRDN.
For the weekend, I ain't gonna jump off the deep end. I ain't gonna ask where your ring is. Thing is, we all got secrets. You don't wanna hear about my last breakup. I don't wanna worry about space you take up. I don't even care if you're here when I wake up. It's just a room key. You ain't gotta lie to me. Can't you just
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The former head of the CDC, Susan Menarez, testified today about being fired by Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Menarez, who was appointed by President Trump and confirmed by the Senate, says she was ousted just weeks into the job because she wouldn't pre-approve vaccine recommendations and changes that weren't based on science or fire top CDC officials without reason.
I was fired for holding the line on scientific integrity, but that line does not disappear with me. It now runs through every parent deciding whether to vaccinate a child, every physician counseling a patient, and every American who demands accountability.
Menarez has filed a lawsuit over the firing. An estimated 400,000 Palestinians have fled Gaza City as Israeli forces push in to occupy the city and defeat Hamas. The U.S. is backing the military operation. Other countries have denounced it. The Federal Reserve Board expected to lower interest rates today after its policy meeting. It would be the first rate cut this year. This is ABC News. The Fed board wrapping up its meeting in the next hour and could lower interest rates for the first time this year. It comes as the board has been grappling with stubborn inflation and also a slowdown in the labor market. ABC's Elizabeth Schulze takes a deeper dive.
What the Fed is really trying to do here is to stimulate hiring in the economy amid a stalling jobs market. The Fed chairman, Jerome Powell, has acknowledged one reason that the jobs market is facing challenges right now is because of a slowdown in immigration. So take this stat. So far this year, between January and June, data from Pew Research and the Census Bureau shows that there have been 1.2 million fewer immigrants in the workforce.
Tyson's Foods is the latest company to announce it's removing some products from its food. The Tyson Food Company says it will remove corn syrup from some of its products by the later part of this year. It's the latest push by the Health and Human Services and the FDA to make America healthy again. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a three-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. Stroke risk may increase. Eliquis can cause serious and potentially fatal bleeding. Don't take if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or bleed longer. A spinal injection increases blood clot risk, which may cause paralysis. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding or bruising, or back pain, tingling, numbness, muscle weakness, or incontinence. Aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Ayler. Republican state lawmakers are once again introducing community solar energy legislation to allow for smaller community-owned solar farms. Representative Scott Krug.
The coalition on this bill has been growing magnificently because of the frustrations we hear in our communities, though. So it should be, I think, bipartisan this session, actually.
Previous versions of the legislation were opposed by utilities and labor unions and failed to advance. While utilities can currently develop community solar projects, it's been a low priority for them. A middle school teacher in Janesville is charged with sharing an explicit photo of his wife and also allegedly sought to exploit children.
A criminal complaint against 33-year-old Adam Teal says he was talking with an undercover federal agent online about having seen child pornography and a desire to molest young relatives. The criminal complaint says Teal told the agent he was a teacher and sent the agent a photo of one of his students. He also sent a photo of his wife showering. In a message to families at Franklin Middle School, the school district of Janesville confirmed Teal was a sixth grade teacher at the school and said Teal is on administrative leave. So far, Teal faces a single charge of capturing an intimate representation without consent in Rock County Court. Andrea Morrow, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Cleanup has been completed at multiple Wisconsin locations where electronic waste was illegally dumped. Those sites were connected to a criminal case against former state senator Kevin Schabelsky. Schabelsky was convicted of fraud for taking payments to process e-waste, but his company, 5-Hour Processors, and related firms simply dumped the waste at sites in Ladysmith, West Bend, Glenflora, and Catawba. In all, the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources spent $4.5 million to remove millions of pounds of old TVs, computer monitors, and other assorted waste. Schabelsky was sentenced to 33 months in federal prison in 2022. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Wisconsin soybean farmers are fueling Wisconsin. In 2021, the value of Wisconsin soybeans was $1.61 billion. That fuels our state's economy, communities, and Wisconsin's future. Wisconsin soybean farmers fuel our state, country, and the world while protecting the land and water. Learn how the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board and Wisconsin Soybean Association are working hard to fuel our farms and future. Visit Wisconsin Soybean.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Still staying unseasonably warm today with highs climbing to the mid-80s. Chance of showers and storms returning by early evening. They do look to keep us damp through the night, leaving us tomorrow with mostly cloudy skies, highs cooler, flirting with 80, more showers and storms by the afternoon. Need a getaway or change of scenery? Check out Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look. Currently, it's 76.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
Expected, and the ride isn't over yet. We are taking a look at the state of the beef industry, from what got us to where the industry is today to where it's headed in the next 5 years. And we'll talk cattle ranching with producers from South Dakota and Kansas on this week's Farmer Forum.
Live from the on-ramp to hump day via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning we'll begin with a conversation with Lance Zimmerman from Rabobank. Then it's our Farmer Forum with panelists Ken Odey and Matt Perrier. Directly following the news, Margie Eckelkamp from The Scoop. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now say hello to the host of AgriTalk, Chip Laurie.
All right, Davis. Hey, thank you so much. We talk quite often about the state of the beef industry, especially in the afternoon show when we see a big move like we're seeing today, unfortunately, to the downside in the cattle complex. But, we talk about it on a fairly regular basis.
We do.
But what Angie Stump Denton has done with the survey of the industry and bringing together the thoughts and the perspectives from major stakeholders in the industry and what it might mean for the cattle industry going forward, I think is really, really important work, and we are going to feature it today on the show. Angie's going to be with us at the start of the next segment. We'll get Lance in here from Rabo. Talk about, it's an economist's point of view on what's happening in the cattle industry, but Lance has got dirty boots, too. And Lance is grew up on a cattle farm out in western Kansas. And I just said cattle farm. Excuse me. Cattle ranch.
I believe it's cow farm, Chip.
Cow farm.
Proper
yeah.
Term.
Yeah.
We can find out.
Yeah. But we will talk with Lance about what's going on. And then, holy smokes. Ken Odey. We got Ken Odey on the show today and Matt Perrier. Mm-hmm. This is going to be a ton of fun, and we are going to learn a whole lot about what is happening in the beef industry. Welcome to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That's Davis. Davis, I hope you saw that I sent you the rundown for the show because you might need it. We've got storms in the area again. What do you got in the news?
Well, the National Weather Service says a good chance of showers and thunderstorms are expected across extend as far south as Oklahoma. The slowly evolving system will bring a couple of days of unsettled weather across the northern and central plains in the form of locally heavy rain and strong to severe thunderstorms. A swath of 1 to 2 inches of rain can be expected across western South Dakota through tonight on the backside of that system. From Thursday into early Friday, the heavy rain and severe storm potentials will diminish. A little cloudy here. They're calling it mostly sunny. Yeah, out my window, it's a little cloudy-ish, 77 degrees in Kansas City. Chip?
Yeah, it's cloudy here, and there are storms in the area. I've got rain within a couple of miles of the bunker right now. And I tell you what, Davis, we've had thunder echoing through the sky more than we have not over the last 24, 48 hours. It's been a stormy period.
Well, Chip, the grain futures markets saw modest downside price corrections overnight after scoring some decent gains yesterday. Corn was down a penny, soybeans off around a nickel, wheat futures just fractionally lower. The U.S. dollar was firmer, with crude oil futures slightly lower ahead of the open here at 10 a.m. Central-ish time. Looks like corn's holding on to some fractional gains, beans under some light pressure. You mentioned the pressure on cattle. Yikes.
Yeah, it's pretty scary what's going on over there in the cattle market right now. It's working on doing some technical damage in here that we're going to have to stay aware of.
Well, Chip, a headline in the South China Morning Post today touts Trump Xi summit progress bodes well for Boeing and U.S. farmers. The report said negotiations between the U.S. and China over a possible state visit by President Trump to China are in their final stage, with large-scale purchases of U.S. products, including soybeans, emerging as key elements. Things are taking shape, quote, one source told the Post, describing the talks as at a, quote, very advanced stage.
You know, I'm looking for signs of that in the bean market. I'm looking for signs of that in the stock market. Boeing is up 0.38%. That doesn't. Neither the bean market nor Boeing really suggests that this deal is as close to done as what the South China Morning Post is making it out to be.
Well, and we're developing quite the prove-it markets, if you ask me. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. That is 100% accurate.
This afternoon, we'll see updated Fed projections that may show slower U.S. economic growth and rising unemployment. Reporters will grill Fed Chair Powell at his press conference this afternoon, not only on the trajectory of the U.S. economy and interest rates, but also on the Fed's independence. The United States, Canada, and Mexico are set to formally begin consultations ahead of the review of their regional USMCA trade accord next year. The consultation process will reportedly begin today. Mexican Economy Minister Marcelo Ebrard said an evaluation of the trade pact's results over the past 5 years will take place between now and the end of the year to prepare for negotiations over a possible extension of the agreement in 2026. Meanwhile, Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney last month said his government will also hold industry consultations on the trade agreement this fall, though Canada's process has not yet formally begun. Over to you, Chip.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Let's bring in Margie Echelkamp, editor of The Scoop. Good morning, Margie.
Hey, Chip. Good morning.
So what's new? What's changing at Nutrien?
So Nutrien is unveiling their new digital hub. And what this is exemplary of is really this trend that has been unfolding for the past 10 years in how ag retailers are doing business different. Many folks thought that e-commerce might be the tip of the spear that brought forward the digitization of the ag retail business. What do I mean? Not relying on pencil and paper to book your fertilizer, right? And book your crop protection products. It wasn't e-commerce. It was efficiency. And so Nutrien was one of the first traditional ag retailers to really launch their customer portal back 7-8 years ago. And they even said it was focused on helping take customer orders. But what they've realized in the last several years is the biggest gains to their business on how to use these digital tools to bring their crop consultants, their in-the-field teams, closer to their customer. It's not e-commerce. It's efficiency. And one big feature in the new Nutrien Hub would be they are highlighting how they can bring forward all of the supplier financing programs to be visible to both the crop consultant and the farmer. And right now, with really tough profitability in row crop agriculture, knowing what's available to those farmers when it comes to financing options, and especially with fall fertilizer application now, is going to be critical.
It's walking a tight line, though, because we want the efficiency of the electronics, but we want the relationships with your retailer, too.
They say they are a bricks and mortar business, but this is a clicks and mortar strategy. So it is exactly right, Chip. It is strategy, straddling that line. And I have to give a big shout out to Nutrien. They gave us the scoop first at the scoop, and I sure appreciate it.
Excellent. Thank you, Margie. That is Margie Eckelkamp, editor at The Scoop. Get more at www.thedailyscoop.com. The state of the beef industry. It's next here on AgriTalk.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Koch Agronomic Services, your trusted crop nutrient solutions partner for a more successful season.
When it comes to Centuro Nitrogen Stabilizer, there's a lot of noise. So let's set the record straight. Centuro is an EPA-registered nitrification inhibitor. It's non-corrosive, easy to handle, and powered by pronitridine, a patented active ingredient offering agronomically effective below-ground protection. And it's trusted by growers and retailers alike because it truly makes a difference. Get all the facts and see how Centuro is delivering real results at CenturoWorks.com.
Hi, I'm Kendall Bonds, Director of Product at Peterson Farm Seed. I joined the team earlier this year, and I'm excited to be part of a company that puts agronomy front and center. Because farmers aren't just picking hybrids or varieties anymore. We're managing IDC and white mold and tar spot and a dozen other curveballs that Mother Nature throws at us. That's why our lineup is built on more than 40,000 replicated plots in 2025. Real data and real fields right here in the Northern Plains. And our expanded agronomy team is out walking those fields, keeping an eye on what's showing up and what's standing strong. We trust our genetic suppliers, but we don't take their word for it. We verify everything in local plots before it goes in a bag with our name on it. If you haven't worked with Peterson Farm Seed yet, now's a great time. Our welcome mat is always out. Give us a call or visit PetersonFarmsSeed.com.
At a certain point, you can't do the same thing and expect different results. So here's some advice. Change the seed and you'll change the game. Zatavo soybean seed is the seed you've always wanted. It's been tested again and again, going through at least 12 quality control protocols because 11 wasn't enough, all to ensure that you get consistent quality performance from every seed, performance that can pay off with better soybean yield. Learn more at xitavosoybeanseed.com. Always read and follow label directions.
Hi, I'm Paul Niefer.
Hey, how was your day?
Great. Don't forget, Sam's practice starts an hour early.
I'm going right now.
Sam, are you ready?
Coming.
I have that meeting at school. I'll see you later.
Life is busy. Your health care should keep up. At Amplify Health in Mondovi, we get it. Our primary care is built around what you need when you need it, with same-day in-person or video appointments available. Because sometimes feeling seen and understood means actually being seen. A little empathy changes everything.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
AgriTalk is brought to you by the Beef Checkoff. New World screwworm is moving north. Are you ready to protect your cattle? Learn how to spot the pest and prevent and treat infection at bqa.org/screwworm.
Yeah, New World screwworm. It's just one of the things that is making this beef industry that much more interesting and dynamic as we make our way through 2025 and start looking at the future. Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you are with us. And we are going to be talking about the state of the beef industry. Angie Stump Denton, the editor of Drovers, has been working on a survey of industry participants, and she joins us right now. Angie, it's good to talk with you. How are you?
Good morning, Chip. It's a great day in Kansas, so getting
good
a little
deal.
Bit of rain here.
Yeah, yeah, there's quite a bit of rain out your way and greening up the grass. I want to get this out right up front. If people want to see more about the study, the survey that you've done, tell us, where can they go?
Yeah, go to drovers.com, and across the top it says State of the Beef Industry. Click on that, and it takes you where you can download the report. We've also been dropping a story every day this week, kind of going in, talking to experts, and kind of breaking down that survey and the state of the beef industry. So drovers.com.
Gotcha. Okay. One of the people that you talked with and did a webinar with, which is outstanding, was Lance Zimmerman. Lance is the senior beef analyst for North America at Rabobank. It's good to talk to you again, Lance. How are you?
I'm great, Chip. Thanks for having me on this morning.
Okay, so tell us where your ranch is.
Yeah, it's out in western Kansas, basically right on that line between what the diehards would say is probably the start of western Kansas and the end of the kind of middle third. So Hays, Kansas, just south of there a bit.
Gotcha. Very good. I want to spend a little bit of time to describe the current state of the beef industry and how we got here. And let's start with how we got here. The state of the beef industry survey said that 72% of survey respondents are optimistic about the future. Lance, that's an amazing number. What built that optimism?
Yeah, I mean, prices, right? I mean, we're sitting here with profits on top of $500 a head easily for most operations today. And I think a little bit of staying power. Now, we're saying that in light of a sell-off again this week after one last week as well. But I think, you know, we talk all the time about needing green grass, needing profitability. I think we've had that in spurts over the last several years, but nothing very consistent. I think what we're seeing now is, even amid the volatility and the swings that we're obviously experiencing now, we're still able to stomach that volatility and maintain profitability in light of it. And I think that's what's showing some of this optimism.
Yeah. Now, and part of what is driving the market is something that has been as well documented as anything I've ever seen in a commodity market, and that is the drought-forced liquidation of the beef cow herd. Lance, where do we stand on that beef cow herd from Rabo's perspective?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. We talk about, you know, a plus or minus couple hundred thousand head swing in inventory numbers, and we talk about it like it's doom or gloom or the best thing ever, depending on which side of the market you're on. The reality is, when you look at the standard error in those government reports, they'll say, you know, we're going to quote the U.S. beef industry at, let's say it's 28 million head, but there's a 500,000 head error around those numbers. And so when you look at where we were in 2024, where we were on January 1 of 2025, and even where we're forecasting as a bank the next 2 years, 2026 and even into 2027, the cow herd statistically isn't going to look a whole lot different. I think we're going to see a small gain of a couple hundred thousand head in this upcoming January print, and then probably a 500,000 head increase as we go from 26 into 27. But statistically, those numbers are all pretty similar to where we were a year ago in 2024. It'll really be 2028, 2029, and into the early 2030s when we start to see appreciable cow herd growth.
Yeah, Angie, in the survey that you did you pick up much desire to expand the cow herd?
Yeah, I mean, it's 47% said they would grow their cow herd in the next 5 years is the statistic that we got from the survey participants. 47%.
Okay, Lance, if half of the guys out there decide that they're going to expand the cow herd, how quickly does that actually grow the cow herd?
Exactly. And that's, you're hitting on exactly the point of why we're not forecasting real appreciable growth until even later in this decade. You know, when we look at the demographics of who's probably going to expand, one, it's going to be those operations that are big enough to take that financial risk. You know, we're talking about bred female prices today are in the upper $3,000 a head area. They're going to get to $4,000 a head sooner than we all think with these type of calf prices. It's going to take a bigger operator that's willing to take that bet on rebuilding the herd going forward, especially those that rebuilt really aggressively 10 years ago, and then the market very quickly punished them for the next 5 or 6 years. Yeah. They're going to want to make sure that they can rebuild strategically, that the market's showing them that those rewards of that investment are going to be a little longer lasting than the last rebuild offered. And that means it's going to be the bigger operators, the more well-capitalized operators, but even them, in that situation, they're going to be very methodical about how they do it. And then the other side of it is, the beef industry has always been built by risk takers. And I think as this producer demographic's gotten older, as you get older, you tend to take more calculated risk, be a little more risk averse. Those operations that are already in the midst of transitioning to the younger generation are going to have more advantages in this rebuild, because that younger generation is going to be like the predecessors before them and take some of those risks to build that profitability, to build that operation going forward.
Yeah, gotcha. Gotcha. Rebuilding the cow herd, Lance, I've always described it that you got to make that female, the heifer, more valuable on pasture than she is in the feed yard. And I don't think we're there yet, are we?
It's probably a coin flip right now.
Yeah, you know, the biggest challenge, I'll go with that.
As we think about a cow-calf producer, very few are full-time cow-calf operators, right? 95% of operations have less than 200 head. You can't raise a family on 200 head. So you're probably a crop farmer. You may have a job or two in town, and then you run cows on the side, or maybe you have cattle in a hay business or whatever it is. But it's usually part of a bigger operation. It's not the sole operation.
Gotcha.
Even our operation, we have 150 mama cows. We farm far more acres than we have cows. And so when you look at some of these losses and tight margins that we're seeing in the crop side of the enterprise, in many respects, the cow-calf operation profits are just subsidizing the other half of the operation today.
Gotcha.
And that also becomes a real challenge in heifer retention.
All right. Boy, we better move on, because demand has played a much more important role than anyone expected it to just 2 or 3 years ago, Lance. It's given this market some staying power, hasn't it?
It really has. You know, we haven't really seen per capita beef supplies fall off yet. I think that'll change as we get into 2026. You mentioned New World Screwworm. That's affecting feedlot capacities right now, but it won't affect beef production until next year. And that's probably an 800,000 head hit to fed slaughter next year alone. You add to that a little bit of heifer retention this fall at a level that's stronger than we've seen the last 2 years. That's going to contribute to tighter supplies. So all of this price increase that we've really seen the last few years is on the back of demand. You know, we're producing 5 pounds of choice and prime beef today for every 1 pound of select. Go back to 2005, we were producing 1.2 to 1.3 pounds of prime and choice beef for every 1 pound of select. The consumer loves the quality of beef that they're getting from U.S. beef producers today. Cattle producers invested in the right genetics. We're feeding them right. We're doing the right things to get that product to their plate. And we're benefiting from it.
The industry listened to consumers, and they are putting a product on the plate that the consumer wants. I think that's really important. Only got a minute and a half left here, Lance. And I want to go back to the 72% majority that are optimistic about the future of the beef industry. Are they right?
I think they are. You know, one of the things that we talk about, this cow herd's been in decline since the peak in the mid-1970s. And every rebuilding phase, that peak's been a little bit smaller than the previous cycle peak. Because of that higher demand, I'm not just sitting here ruling out that we have to have a cow herd that's less than where we were at the peak in 2019, which for your listeners, that was just under 32 million head. Because of the stronger demand we're seeing, yes, it would be new record highs in beef production. It'd be bigger per capita consumption. But some of these demand signals are pretty encouraging. Perhaps we could get a cow herd that's right back at that 32 million head level, maybe a little bit above it if this demand holds true longer.
Yeah. Boy, if we can do that, I mean, you're talking about a Cinderella type of situation where everything is kind of balanced out just right, isn't it?
It really is. But demand's as high today as it's been since 1983. Wow. The highs in demand were in the late 70s. We're within layup range of getting there in my lifetime, and I never thought that would have been possible 10 years
exactly. ago. Exactly. All right, we are off and running, taking a look at the state of the beef industry. Angie Stump-Denton, the editor of Drovers, is going to stick around. Lance, thank you. I appreciate all your insights. Thanks. Lance is the senior beef analyst for North America at Rabobank. We'll be back with Farmer Forum next here on AgriTalk.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Brevant Seeds. There are wins, and then there are the wins you get with Brevant Seeds. Big, game-changing wins that turn heads and make people take notice. Get started at brevant.com/change the game.
Introducing this year's Instinct NextGen in N-Serve Nitrogen Stabilizers. Featuring the same leading active as always. And now announcing nothing new. Because our performance still leads every competitor.
Our nitrogen stabilizers aren't new. They're proven with thousands of field trials and decades of experience leading the competition. No gimmicks. No empty promises. Now that deserves some hype.
Go to Corteva.us/hype to learn more.
Running a trucking business is hard enough. Don't let compliance paperwork slow you down. At Dakota Group, we make DOT compliance simple and easy. From MCS 150 and UCR filings to strategic advisory services and more, Dakota Group is your trusted partner for comprehensive trucking compliance solutions. Don't wait. Get your trucking business DOT compliant today. Call 844-426-2400 today. Don't wait. Get your trucking business DOT compliant today.
Farmers, thinking about doing cover crops? Christina Olson is pleased to announce cover crop and forage planting services this fall. Adding a living root onto your valued land can improve soil health, build organic matter, residue management, control soil erosion, boost crop yields, as well as increase residue to help combat white mold in soybeans. Call Christina Olson at 715-495-6104 for your cover crop needs while improving your farm's bottom line. Find her on Facebook at Christina's Cover Crops, offering winter wheat, rye, and Triticale. Double-digit gains in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, October milk up 64 to 1729, November up 49 to 1685, December up 39 to 1696, January up 26 at 17 even. Meanwhile, in the cattle markets, live and feeder cattle markets continue to move mostly lower today, as again, no substantial support arising from anywhere, and that has forced live and feeder cattle markets to continue to move mostly lower. Hog markets lower in deferred contracts, as not enough support is developed. Now, the nearby was higher due to some higher pork cutout values. October live cattle down 205 to 231.40. September feeder cattle down 320 to 355.12. October hogs up 2 cents to 97.40. At the Chicago Board of Trade, corn, soybeans, and wheat are mostly lower, as the weather will allow for good early harvest progress for corn around the rains in the west. Soybeans also lower as well. Early harvest in the eastern part of the belt will ramp up quickly with the dry finished. Wheat markets also moving mostly lower. Wet weather in the plains will fade this week to help planting progress, along with warmer temperatures to boost early emergence. December corn down 3 to 426 and a half. November beans down 6.5 to 1043 and a quarter. And December wheat down 6.25 to 527 and 3/4.
Introducing Riverside Plaza, now open at the shop bays of Napa Auto Parts in Durand. Riverside Plaza is a Napa Auto Care Center offering expert service at a price you can afford. Get oil changes starting at just $22.50, plus oil and filter, including a full inspection and fluid top-off. Riverside Plaza also provides tire sales, repairs, fleet maintenance, diagnostics, and wheel alignments. Enjoy convenient drop-off and loyalty rewards. Open until 6 p.m. daily and Saturdays by appointment. Riverside Plaza, 403 West Madison Street, downtown Durand.
From raging storms and relentless winds to unforgiving heat, Proven G3 from Pivot Bio just keeps working. Featuring the only gene-edited microbe continuously fixing nitrogen in the presence of synthetic nitrogen, Proven G3's three modes of action feed more nitrogen, boost nutrient uptake, and amplify yield potential day in and day out. Learn more about Proven G3's durable nitrogen delivery at pivotbio.com.
Expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
AgriTalk is brought to you by iGenity Beef. iGenity Beef provides the genetic insight to be confident in your heifer selection. Uncover your herd's potential at neogen.com.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. We are taking a look at the state of the beef industry today, thanks to Angie Stump Denton for the survey work and the report that is available at drovers.com, and that's kind of the basis of our conversation. And Lance and our next two guests were part of a webinar that Angie did, and it's just a really, really comprehensive look at the state of the beef industry and where things might be going in the future. We're going to steal from it right now. And we've still got Angie with us. Angie, stay right there. And let's introduce Dr. Ken Oatey. Ken is a commercial cow-calf producer from North Central South Dakota, and there is a lot in Wildcat Nation that would say that we are underselling Ken's biography right there, and I might agree with that. But for today, Ken, we're going to rely on your cow-calf operation. How are you, man?
I'm doing great. I'm up here in North Central South Dakota where life is good. I'm at the cows and grandkids stage of my life.
Beautiful, beautiful. Tell us about the operation. Take a minute.
So we have a cow calf operation here in North Central South Dakota. We run about 500 cows. It's a family operation. My son, my youngest son, and his family are the primary managers of the operation. And as I'm the guy that brings new ideas and then gets in the way occasionally. So. But we started this about 20 years ago. I spent most of my career in academia, but we've been building this business for about 20 years now. And so we have a cow-calf operation, and things are good.
Yeah. Ken, when did your son come back to the operation?
In 2010. He got a degree from South Dakota State University, and at that time he decided he'd like to ranch. So we started... We had bought some land in 1996, and then we started building our business at that point in time and really trying to help him get on his feet. And so we've been at this for about 20 years.
He was kind of a rare breed at that time in this industry, Ken, a young guy coming back to cattle.
Yeah, I think so. You know, we, in fact, in the webinar, we talked a lot about this whole issue of young people coming back to the ranch. And you know, my observation is, right now, I think we're seeing, and I would say on the crop side, we do a little farming. We don't do a whole lot of farming, but mm-hmm. the big ethanol push that really elevated corn prices here a number of years ago really brought some optimism into the crop side, and we see more young people back in farming at that time. Of course, now they're highly concerned about corn and yeah. bean prices right now, but yeah. Nevertheless, I think making money in these operations is yeah. what's really key to attracting young people back to the operations.
That's right. We've wondered for years who's going to be the next generation and why they would come back and do it. Well, the market, it always seems to give them a reason to come back and do it. So we're seeing those financial returns now. Stay right there, Ken. Let's bring in Matt Perrier. Matt is Dale Banks Angus, an Angus seed stock producer out in Kansas. Matt, welcome. It's good to talk with you. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, Chip.
Glad that you are here. Give us a rundown on your operation.
Okay. Yeah, it's a family operation. I've been here in the southern Flint Hills of Kansas since about 1867. That was the first generation. Second generation brought the first Angus cows in here, and we've had Angus cows in our family since 1904. Everybody always wants to know who the Banks family was. It's a long story, but you can go to the website and see it. But basically, our family has never had anybody named Dale in it, but that's the name of the ranch. They brought that over from England in the mid-1800s, and it's stayed ever since. It would run about, similar to Dr. Oatey, about 500 registered Angus cows, and then we would sell just over 200 bulls annually through our bull sale or private treaty sales in the winter and spring. And so also use cover crops, a little bit of farm ground. The Flint Hills is not known for its corn, beans, and wheat ag type of or commodity type production, but we do have a little of those, and then run those cows on forage as much as we can, either on native tall grass pastures or on cover crops, annual forages and cool season grasses that we would seed down in some of the valleys, the Flint Hills.
Yep, gotcha. You spend any time cutting red cedar trees there, Matt?
You know, we have some cedars. Luckily, we're able to use fire to control most of those, and we have for decades. And so if we stay on top of those with, you know, every 2 to 3 year good burns, we can usually keep most of the cedars down. Our biggest battle today would be some of the other woody plants, the smallest one being Sericea lespediza, and that one doesn't respond well from fire, especially the traditional spring burns. And so we're finding new and creative ways to try to keep that. Locusts, hedge, things like that, Osage orange, Bodark, whatever different regions call it. But, yeah, it's an annual battle to keep the grasslands grass.
It is. Yep, it is a constant battle to keep those grasslands in shape. Okay, Angie's survey, we talked about this a little bit with Lance, but Angie's survey said 72% are optimistic about the cattle industry. Ken, it's probably because 73% of the respondents said that they are making some money. the current condition of the cattle industry, Ken, did you ever dream that something like this would happen?
I did not. To just describe, I think, what we're actually seeing here today, and I would use our own ranching business. Just 2 years ago, we were selling calves off the ranch for maybe $1,600 to $1,800 a head, and those same calves today are worth $2,200 to $2,400 a head. So you look at the added income that's coming into the cow-calf sector today, it's just enormous. And one other point that I want to make, I was listening to Lance's comments in regard to beef demand, and I fully agree with this this really strong beef demand that we're actually seeing. But one of the things I would also say is this beef economy, this beef industry today, especially the cow-calf sector, is pumping a lot of dollars into rural America. And this is not something we have seen, I would say, for a long, long time. And so when I look at what's happening here, and I'm particularly pleased because the cow-calf sector of the industry is really spread out. We're really all over the country. So you really and so the effect this is having on the rural economy is actually enormous. And we can see it here in our small towns. We live in a little town of Pollock, South Dakota, 240 people. We have livestock auction markets in two neighboring towns. Just the amount of dollars that are flowing and the effect that's having on the rural economy is just enormous.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Good perspective right there, Ked. Matt, another part of the conversation that we have with Lance, beef cow herd is one of the smallest on record. How has that affected your business as a seed stock producer? Has it changed the way that you operate?
You know, it's interesting. I had a customer it would have been about 10 or 12 years ago, the last time we saw cow numbers dip in a cycle. And he said, why is it that when cow numbers get smaller and there's less to be bred, your bulls are in more demand and even harder for me to purchase? And I kind of chuckled because I'd never thought about that. But it is interesting that as we see fewer cows, we don't necessarily see less demand for bulls. And so it hasn't affected ours in a negative way at all. I think what has happened, and Lance and anyone else can talk about the fact that each of those cows, while there are fewer of them out there than there have been in 70 years, each of them is producing more per head. And so I think that is where folks are realizing that they can leverage purchases like genetics, herd health, nutrition, whatever the case may be, just like your survey said, to get themselves ready for profit in the future. Obviously, when we buy that bull today, we're 2 to 3 years before we get revenue out of them. We're going to be in a different point in the cycle there. And so it's more important than ever, as I talk with folks, to make sure that you're investing those profits in things like genetics that can pay back.
Okay, so the genetic side of things, I'll stay with you here for just a second, Matt. How is the technology that's available to you today, how has that changed your operation?
Oh, it's changed it big time. And I guess everybody looks at technology from a different perspective. And I would even reach back to technology, quote unquote, that we've been implementing. And a lot of us in the seed stock industry have been implementing since the mid-1980s, really, in terms of artificial insemination and EPDs, or expected progeny differences, and weighing those calves and doing everything we can to make sure that we have good, reliable information that lets our customers and ourselves make selection decisions with some sound science. And in addition to our eye, as we go out there and evaluate structural soundness and things like that, the thing more recently, and this has just been in the last 10 to 15 years, that we have implemented into those EPDs and selection criteria or selection tools would be genomics or DNA. And we're able today, for somewhere around $50 a head, to be able to take a DNA sample and let information that has been tied to pedigree and everything else, without getting into the weeds, ways that that DNA sample on a newborn calf, if we want to do it that early, yeah, can tell us an immense amount of about that animal's genetics, both on the commercial and seed stock end of things. And right, so we can find calves earlier. We can find yearling cattle without having progeny from them sooner. And basically, it just limits our risk. It tells us, hey, this bull is actually going to be higher birth weight, or his calves are going to be higher birth weight than his pedigree would have indicated. And so that's a technology that I think has really, really made the commercial cow-calf producers' ability to find genetics that'll fit and work consistently even better.
It's fascinating. The amount of data that that is available to everybody, whether it be on the purebred or the seed stock or the commercial side, it's really incredible. We are talking about the state of the beef industry. When we come back, Angie Stump Denton, I am going to ask you what the biggest surprise was in the survey work that we did. And Ken, I want to talk to you a little bit about this, the genetic side of things as well. It leads to cattle quality. It leads to beef quality. How are they all connected? We'll do that next on AgriTalk.
When the game is on.
Hi, it's me, Flo, here to tell you that with a Progressive home and auto bundle, you get 24/7 protection, so you're covered no matter where the day takes you.
Even, I added too much water to the pizza dough day?
Yep.
How about getting a call from my daughter to pick her up at the airport because her boyfriend is unreliable day?
Especially that day.
What about finding out that one of my pipes suddenly burst in my basement day?
Progressive has every day covered 24/7 with a home and auto bundle. Also, you have a lot of bad days.
Oh no, that was all the same day.
At least you're covered with Progressive.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Turn your book idea into publishing gold.
800-215-6818. 800-215-6818. That's 800-215-6818.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200-$300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code MOVE to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime, right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code MOVE for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code MOVE for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
I'm joined by Dr. Paige Pratt, beef genomics specialist for the U.S. and Canada livestock team at Neogen. We are discussing the benefits for cattle producers in using genomic testing with Igenity Beef from Neogen and how you can uncover the potential of your herd. Igenity Beef from Neogen uses DNA to rank the genetic merit of animals for 17 key maternal performance and carcass traits. Dr. Pratt, tell us about Igenity Beef.
So Igenity Beef is a genomic test for commercial heifers. So I know we've worked with the seed stock producers all across the country on genomics, but this is actually for our commercial producers that allow them to be able to identify the best heifers out there for multiple traits. But maybe most importantly, in my opinion, the females that they don't need to keep, right? Prices are really well good in the cattle market right now. And so if we can identify those females that are maybe a little more terminal in nature or simply don't bring enough maternal characteristics, given the traits that that producer desires, it allows them to be able to select females that will do exactly what they want them to do in terms of stayability, growth traits, carcass traits, tenderness, docility, just whatever traits they're looking for, we can put it into a custom index and allow them to assign weights to each trait so that they can pick the best heifers for their environment. That's really the goal, is to produce those higher quality females. Honestly, if we can take off those bottom enders, we can improve a calf crop dramatically.
That's absolutely right. Great stuff, Dr. Pratt. Thank you so much. That is Dr. Paige Pratt, beef genomics specialist for the USAC livestock team at Neogen. Uncover your herd's potential with Igenity Beef. Contact your Neogen representative or visit neogen.com/igenity-beef.
If you want bigger yields, you got to start with better soil prep. And Great Plains Vertical Tillage can help you get the most out of every acre. Turbo Chisel leaves your ground level for one-pass tools in the spring. Max Chisel slices and buries residue with Samurai Edge blades. Ultra Chisel handles your toughest post-harvest conditions. And the VT1500 Subsoiler resets those yield-robbing compaction layers deep below the surface. Talk to your local Great Plains dealer or visit GreatPlainsAg.com. Maximum yield starts here.
With corn rootworm costing farmers up to $1 billion a year, you need the right strategy. Introducing Durastack Trait Technology, featuring three powerful modes of action to strike corn rootworm at full force. Outsmart, outmaneuver, and outmatch their every move with the industry's first triple BT protein stack built for corn rootworm control. Take back your yield potential. Make your move at Durastack.com. Available for the 2027 season.
AgriTalk is brought to you by FBN Finance, helping family farms through tough times with land loan rates as low as 5.19% for well-qualified borrowers. Rates subject to credit approval and may vary. Visit FBN.com/AgriTalk.
Welcome back to the Farmer Forum. We are talking about the state of the beef industry. Dr. Ken Odie and Matt Perrier are our guests today. And, of course, we've got Angie Stump Denton with us. We're going to get to Angie here in just a second. But, Ken, we were talking about genetics earlier with Matt. And, you know, I said at the end of the last segment, the genetics that we're selecting now, they produce quality cattle, and they, as importantly, if not more importantly, they produce quality beef, don't they?
Absolutely, and I'll just tell you a little bit about our philosophy when it comes to genetics. And so we have a commercial cow-calf operation, Simmental Angus, and our goal is always to have about 50% Simmental, 50% Angus in our cow herd. So we procure bulls. We buy a lot of Sim-Angus bulls, and in order to actually do that, and we pay a lot of attention to EPDs, but particularly to the indexes. And when we're using the IGS indexes, of course, we have an all-purpose index and we have a terminal index, and those are the ones that we pay particularly attention to. We also have a sex semen program where we've been breeding cows and heifers with male sex semen for several years now, and our goal is to produce 65% male calves. And we're actually pretty close to that. We've been working with ST Genetics on this project for some time. And so, of course, when we're selecting bulls for producing just male calves at the commercial level, we're only interested in the terminal traits at that point in time. So the bulls we use for with male sex semen are the very, very top bulls for terminal index. So that's what we're up to kind of in our breeding program.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. Matt, the bottom line here is if we want to secure future for the beef industry going forward, we got to keep putting a good steak on the plate.
Yeah, without a doubt. And I think that Dr. Odie talked about buying that ranch in 1996. That was when I graduated from Kansas State University, and that was the low of the cattle market. And I don't ever want to go back there. And the reason it was the low was because we weren't producing a good steak, and we didn't have any incentives to do it. And so a lot of folks have figured out how to do that with value-based marketing and branded beef and so many things. And yeah, that it's that consumer dollar that comes into the beef industry trickles down all the way through, and that's where the new source of wealth is in our ranches.
Yeah, and I would argue that consumers have done a better job of expressing their wants for that product out there. There's no question about that. That getting to know your food supply that much better, I think, was part of their effort to say, listen, don't give me this lean beef. I want prime beef. I want choice beef. So I think it was the stars kind of aligned for where we're at right now when you get right down to it. Angie, when you were doing the survey, what was the surprise? What really caught your attention?
Well, I think the biggest surprise to me is the succession question. 57% will add a member in the next 5 years, 57% of respondents, which isn't a change. But the change was between the percent of a family member, it was 40%, which was down 14% compared to last year. And non-family is 17%, which is up 12%. So the thought of those farmers and ranchers are finding non-family members to come and join their team and, you know, and carry on that next generation of their farm and ranches. I think that's a signal to the beef industry, in my mind, as a mother of two boys that maybe want to come back here someday, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, that's something that we see in row crop more and more. Row crop producer is out here saying, you know, nobody in the family, none of the kids have a desire to come back and farm. So they're reaching out and finding somebody that does have that desire. And boy, that is one way to keep things healthy going forward. Ken, I'm going to ask you for a final comment here. What are your thoughts on the future of the industry?
Well, I would say I'm very optimistic, mostly because of strong beef demand and what I see actually going on there. But I would make one more comment on how we prepare people to come into this industry,
yeah.
Whether they be sons or daughters or whether they be they come in as employees. We actually have an internship program at our ranch here in South Dakota. So we've been taking interns since 2014. And we take them in the spring, summer, and fall. We don't always have fall interns, but we almost always have spring and summer interns. And these are young people. Most of them did not grow up on farms and ranches. Most of them are, they might have grown up in 4-H and FFA. We see quite a few of those kinds of students. Mm-hmm. But they're just hungry to learn. And we've had 42 interns here now since 2014.
Man.
And about 4 years ago, I actually bought a house in town here just to house interns. So
wow.
It's a way of getting young people connected. They not only learn a little bit about cattle and cattle management, but they learn a lot about rural communities and how we work with the neighbors. They learn a lot about the culture. I would call it the culture of rural America. And a lot of these are just good kids that just don't have any experience. So we're very proud of what we've done on the internship side.
You should be. You should be. Absolutely, Ken. That's fantastic. Matt, your thoughts on the future. How do you feel?
Well, I, too, am optimistic, very optimistic. I have to caution myself when I look at some of this data and the demand and the supply and everything that could be over the next 2 or 3 years that we saw a hint of this in 2014 and had to be careful that we don't overshoot the runway like we did then. But yeah, I think it's time as producers to recognize the fact that we have a product that people want to buy. We have profitability in the industry and it's a business and we need to treat it as such. Yes, I hold tight to traditions. Our family's been doing this for over 150 years, but we have to recognize that we also have to look at it from a business standpoint as well.
Yeah, excellent, excellent. You guys, that was fantastic. Matt Perrier from Kansas Ken Odie up in South Dakota. Thank you, gentlemen, so much for sharing your thoughts and your insights into what is happening in this beef industry, cattle industry. Angie, tell us again, where can people go?
Drovers.com, up across the top, it says State of the Beef Industry.
State of the Beef Industry, www.drovers.com. Thank you, Angie, as well. Check it out. It's a great bit of research work that Angie has done. Thank you so much for listening this morning. Come back this afternoon. We're going to keep it going, talking what's happening in the cattle market with Scott Varlick, KKV Trading, right here on AgriTalk.
There's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark, and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, What's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Scoop Podcast is where we talk about tight supply chains, emerging agronomic challenges, technology tools delivering ROI. I'm Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop and host of The Scoop Podcast. Join me as I interview leaders from across the ag retail sector. Farmers are working hard for every bushel, and their trusted advisors are by their side. Find The Scoop Podcast wherever you find podcasts so you are up to date on everything ag retail.
Wait, what hairbrush is that?
This? It's my Tangle Teaser. Total game changer.
Okay, but your hair always looks good. Mine breaks every time I brush it.
Yeah, that was me before this thing. It has this wild two-tiered teeth thing going on. It detangles without yanking.
No tugging, even wet?
Especially wet. I use it straight out of the shower. No knots, no drama. And bonus, it actually feels good.
That's honestly impressive. I just thought all brushes were the same.
They're not. This one was made with hair health in mind. Any type. Fine, curly, coily. It's kind of obsessed with being gentle.
Well, now I'm obsessed. Where did you get it?
Amazon. Here. See? And if you use promo code TANGLE10 off, you'll save 10%.
Okay, sold.
Told you. Bad hair days don't stand a chance.
Tangle Teaser. Detangling without the drama. Say bye-bye to bad hair days. Find Tangle Teaser on Amazon.com and use promo code TANGLE10 off to save 10%. That's Tangle Teaser on Amazon.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. For the first time this year, the Federal Reserve Board voting to cut interest rates. This